What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. You're on with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy April 10th to you. It's hump day. It's rainy outside, but we're going to get through this hump day. All right, we're going to do it by getting you set for another Grizzlies game, baby. Yes, after last night setting an NBA record for most starting lineups used in a season. Did that against the Spurs. It was a loss, by the way, and we knew that 13-game winning streak against the Spurs was in serious jeopardy when we saw how many Grizz players would be out for that one. Now we know how many will be out basically for the rest of the season, but the Grizzlies do get right back at it after the loss to San Antonio last night. They'll do it in Cleveland tonight. Got three left. John, hang in there. Hang in there. Utah, two games behind you for that seventh worst record. I'm telling you what, though, with what's left, Grizzlies shouldn't win another one. So I don't think you're going to have to worry. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. Giannis survived an injury scare, apparently, per Woj last night. Boston literally didn't shoot a free throw in that game. Kind of crazy. Warriors showed they still maybe got a little left in the tank. John Martin came in here today talking about that one. It's NFL mock draft season. Of course, Mel Kiper's got a new two-rounder out. And I'm very excited about this. Dane Brugler of The Athletic, who we've had on before, haven't we, John, at some point?
Man, I want to say so, yeah.
Back in the day. He has got a 323-page PDF breakdown of the basically a breakdown, a draft guide, he calls it. It's called The Beast. He's done it for 6 years. And if you dig deep, Brad Carson, if you dig deep, John Martin, you will find a very detailed breakdown of Memphis Tigers running back Blake Watson. Now, remember when I set eyes on Blake Watson that first time, John? What did I tell you about him?
You said, and I quote, he is the next Barry Sanders.
No, fool. I said he's going to play on Sundays. So you were close. Not really. We did say NFL. I did say NFL. First time I laid eyes on that man. Brugler's got a hell of a breakdown.
Yeah.
I was very excited to see. Projects he will probably go in the draft. How about that? We'll tell you where and what he said about him later on in the show.
Yeah, there's a gentleman on Twitter who is somehow still living and dying with every Grizzlies game. I don't know.
Well, want to win.
His name is Creamy Cole. I'm a little worried for him.
I don't know why you want to win.
I'm a little worried for him because he's reacted very viscerally to the Jaren Jackson being shut down for the season news.
Maybe he was hoping to go to one of those final. I think it's two more home games after tonight's road
game. I don't know if he realized it's only three games.
Trying to see Jaren one last time before the season was done, maybe.
He's also saying he feels like Trey Jemison is this close.
So close to what?
I think Cole needs to step away. I think Creamy Cole needs to step away and take a step back because he's lost in the sauce. I mean, when we're at a point where we're talking about how close Trey Jemison is.
I can understand if your brain's a little – if your Grizzlies' brain's a little mush because of what we've had to endure.
Right.
I mean, 50 freaking starting lineups.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just – like, I need Creamy Cole. He's, like, trying to compare Jordan Goodwin to Sean Livingston, like – brother, you need to get some help.
Last night, I had visions watching Jordan Goodwin rebound that ball. It's happening to me too. Maybe I'm like, I want this dude here.
Yeah, like
I want him on the roster.
You gotta get some help.
That man had like 19 rebounds.
Yeah,
bro.
He did. He's
6'3".
Yeah, he just
looks real good right now.
Wembley. Were you impressed with the Wembley move?
Yeah, he just kind of
Wembley.
He just kind of owned us without having to put forth much effort.
Yes, he did.
Especially that the third quarter where We only scored 12
points. What they call it, the sham God move on poor Trey Jemison.
Oof. Yeah. Did that come from God?
That's what they called it, sham God, yeah.
Right.
So
he was the first? And we named it after him?
I assume.
Every time I hear that, it makes me want to go back to God, sham God was the first to do it.
Well, Greg Popovich came in here and whipped that ass.
Well, I mean, lost 13 in a row to us.
Yes.
It was about time.
It was time, right? Yeah. 102-87 was the final. Grizzlies didn't have anybody playing.
I left that for you.
Doesn't matter.
So that I left the score for you.
Wembanyama, 18-7-6. So, was that it wasn't the first chance to see Wemby, was it?
No, it was the second game. Second game here.
I'm sure that was entertaining, even if the game was not. But, yes, I would say to my man on Twitter, Creamy Cole, bro, you've got to find something else to do.
It's about to be time.
Yeah, like it's just it's not good for your mentals.
Maybe you can focus on showboats.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things. There's no doubt this stage in the season. Big show today. Every show is a big show. That's the way we do it around here. B.I.G. Notorious. 12:25, we're going to be joined by Nick Friedell from Odyssey NBA Sports. We'll talk to him about a big result last night. There was a big result last night
in
the NBA in the association.
You kind of already alluded to it. You came in here talking about it today.
Them Golden State Warriors.
Sounds like you were watching late.
I was up late, and I had a pretty large wager on them boys.
I figured.
Now, I got lucky because I bet Warriors +3.5 where I knew AD was not playing.
Oh.
So I expected him to go.
So he's only missed 6 games this year. When I saw that number, whoa.
Yeah.
He's been out there this year.
And he's a difference maker.
I think they're 2-4.
They ain't ish without him. But the Warriors shot better than, it was like a vintage Splash Brothers performance last night.
26 threes, yes.
We got the 1800 brood of the cicadas coming out, and we got Draymond Green starting 5 of 5 from 3.
See, I misunderstood when you brought us that news when they're coming out.
Yeah.
The cicadas.
I think they came out after the Draymond performance last night. That's the first time he's hit 5 threes in a game since May 2017.
He's looked good since he got ejected. What was that, Orlando, whatever game that was?
Yeah, like, how it was nuts. It was nuts watching him just unload from 3.
He's been good since then. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear you talk about it.
The Warriors are playing amazing basketball. They're playing as good as anybody the last couple of months. But they get the win, which, hey, in some ways could lead to the matchup that we all want. So we'll get into that today on the show. Talk to Nick Friedell about that at 12:25. And then at 125 or so, Norton Hurd IV is going to join us. We got a lot of things to talk about with him, namely where the hell Jaden Quayton is going. Where's he headed?
He's going to tell you.
He's going to tell us.
He'll tell you.
He's going to spill the beans on this show where Jaden Quayton is going. Is he going to follow Cal to Arkansas?
He might tell us if the whole group's going.
Yeah, like it's
not just his guy.
It's funny. Kentucky fans are all like, we're not rooting against Cal.
Exactly.
Wait till
right now they're doing that.
Let's wait.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
So we'll get into all that with Hurd at 125. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. But as we tend to do in the middle of the week, let's do, we have a little over-under.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Under.
It's official, John. Calipari is leaving the Kentucky Wildcats for the Razorbacks of Arkansas. Seasons for Cal is our first category here. Seasons for Cal at Arkansas. Linesmiths have set the number at 5.5 years.
Over. Under.
So what is it, it's a 7-8 year deal? Or is it a 5-year deal? I guess that would help if we knew the terms.
I think it's 5-year deals.
5 years, okay.
5-year deal with extensions.
Right. That's what it is.
Banked in there.
Two automatic rollovers that would, for NCAA tournament appearances, that would extend it out to 2031. So,
$7 million a season.
It's essentially a 7-year deal. So, do we think, basically, Cal will finish a 7-year term at Arkansas?
Important to note, he turned 65 in February.
Yes.
So he won't be 66 till next.
I will say over 5.5, but I don't say it confidently. I don't say it confidently because it does sort of feel like I could see a world where if he does somehow deliver a national championship to Fayetteville and wins a title, I could see him saying, that's it for me. I've done it all. I've won 2 different championships at 2 different schools in the same conference. There's nothing left for me to do. There's nothing else that drives me. I want to spend time with my family. I want to, get out of the rat race. So it's going to me, it depends on how quickly, you know, how quickly he's successful. If it's like Kentucky where he goes, like, you know, goes to four straight Final Fours, you know, and wins a title, I think he probably could call it after four and not even finish out the initial five. But if it takes him a little time to build it up, yeah, I think it'd be. So it just, to me, it just depends on how quickly you think he'll be successful. And I think that will shape sort of how long he's there.
That's well said. I mean, I've heard you say you think he'll make a Final Four in those 5 years. I heard Seth Greenberg say yesterday that he thinks he'll make it in 3 years to a Final Four. And just adding that to what you've laid out there. Because if he does, again, I'm with you. There is sort of, okay, you know, showed you I could do it here too. I still got it.
Yep.
I think, you know, I do think it's more than just the appearance, though, that what would factor into that is sort of how close you came, what you would have back. But I'm going to go that – I'm just going to go on gut here and say he goes over. I mean, he did 15 at Arkansas. He's a relatively young 65. I know Jeff was remarking that yesterday that in that video that he does look older. He certainly looks older than he did at Memphis, and 15 years in Lexington will age you. But I tell you, he's reinvigorated, new challenge. I think he goes on past 70. I do. So give me the over here on years for Cal. What we said, 5.5?
Yeah. Five and
go
and
over.
Half,
he's going to do at least 6. Because like you said, it's essentially a 7-year deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's going to take him into, what, 72 years old, which is crazy. I mean, it is. Like, wow, Cal being 72 years old at the end of this thing is nuts.
Especially a contract to 2031, like you said.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think this spices up college basketball just – you know, in a crazy way. And there is an article in The Athletic where Shams writes about, you know, the history of Cal. He turned down UCLA in 2019. He had been mentioned for Texas, remember, last year.
Yes.
And according to sources close to Cal, he still regrets turning down UCLA in 2019. But Kentucky gave him that lifetime deal. They gave him that 10-year, $86 million contract to keep him in Lexington, and the UCLA was not going to match that. And I think that when we talk so much about coaches in this life, and we talk about, and I think it's the equation with Scott Drew that he's going to have to weigh. Happiness, when you make a certain amount of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but your happiness is where it needs to be. Don't compromise or even risk compromising your happiness for just more money. That's the lesson, right? If you make $40 million, what's $86 million? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's more money.
It's double it.
It's double it, but you already have $40 million.
Again, you've said, you know, millionaires love money. They love more millions.
But
this idea that they won't go after more after you've made your first 40.
Well, Cal did that, and he regrets it. You know, he regrets not taking less money at UCLA in 2019. You know, I mean, that's at least what he says. I guess because it played out the way it played out.
Exactly.
If it would have gone swimmingly, he would not have regretted it, right? But the point is, he risked it, and now, you know, it didn't end up costing him because he's making basically the same amount of money at Arkansas, and he's got a new lease on life.
Yes.
I'm just saying, if all things are equal enough, choose happiness.
Well, I mean, tell Scott Drew that. Sounds like he gonna take it.
Yeah.
The fact that we haven't seen him turn it down yet,
and I think
or put out a statement looks to me like, I mean, he's the favorite, and.
Exactly.
And tell him about happiness, because I think he's going to go to a place where he finds it much different.
It's a different life. It is.
And what you accomplish at Baylor going to be different.
No question, man.
At Kentucky, accomplishing the same thing won't be accepted
because
in the same
way. Because at Baylor, they appreciate you. You took the job after Dave Bliss.
For life.
You know,
thing was dead.
You won a national title. You restored relevancy. Dude, you're the king down there.
You're made. A made man there.
If you do exactly what you did at Baylor – at Kentucky, they won't be able to wait to get you out of there.
They'll just tell you it's not enough.
So I think that's the thing you have to think about specifically as it relates to Kentucky is the juice worth the squeeze for most coaches?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a good situation where you're at, maybe it's not perfect, maybe it's not the most money you can make, but do you really want to risk that? I guess, look, you take a shot. You could always get hired again. You know, if that's the way you want to do it. But unless you're driven by that, like what Cal was driven by when he left Memphis, I would not do it.
I already told you I wouldn't do it if I was Scott Drew.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who I would recommend do it.
Well, and if you're the team, you also don't want that coach. In other words, if you don't feel they're motivated when they take your job, you do not want them. You're going to pay them regardless.
Well, we wanted Tubby. We did not evaluate that one properly.
That was your alma mater doing that.
But that's Tom Jason's Bowen, alma mater, not,
Tom Bowen
not mine.
And the search firm.
But yeah, that was a miss, and they should have vetted that one properly.
For real.
But I mean, I think the candidate list for Kentucky is going to be so shallow that you're going to, we all know it's going to be the greats. I mean, they're
I didn't say you didn't want to follow him at Memphis. You want to follow him at Kentucky?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where he actually won one,
and they weren't satisfied.
Right.
And they weren't happy. You know,
yeah, I get that vibe too, Jason. That's a smart.
That's what I say. Bruce seems like he revels in that kind of stuff. Yes. That's what I say. He, Scott. I don't know, man. I don't know if he's got if he's built for it in the way that he might think he is. And again, I wouldn't look at Kentucky as what it was. The way Cal looked at it leaving Memphis, that it was his dream job. It's different now in college basketball. And again, Baylor not a blue blood, but the fact that you've won the title down there shows you can do everything you want. Frankly, you can argue you're in a better conference. I mean, SEC's had its up and down years, but where Baylor is better. I'd stay if I'm Scott Drew, but sounds like the fact that we haven't had a a statement from him tells me he's listening.
Yep.
And Billy Donovan hadn't been called.
Yeah.
And it seems like the focus is on Drew.
It is on Drew, and we'll see where it goes from here. But yeah, well, it is to me. It just depends on how quickly he's successful at Arkansas. But either way, it spices up college basketball in a major way.
Grizzlies news now. They of course have 2-way contract guys. They have 10-day contract guys. They've sort of piecemealed together for these last three. Tonight they play on 92.9 against the Cavaliers at 6:00. Early tip, by the way. We'll have the 5:30 pregame. This is now number of starting lineups used for the Grizzlies. How about the number 50.5 over-under?
So we hit 50 last night, NBA record. Congratulations. Scottie Pippen Jr., Jordan Goodwin, Gigi Jackson, Brandon Clark, and Trey Jimison. They did it.
Dear Lord.
Got us to 50. It's an NBA record.
Right.
And something the Grizzlies pointed out in the post-game notes, almost as if from a point of pride. Harrington made a key point. It's different now. You're going to have these over and over again because of now what you can have three two ways.
Yeah,
so you're going to have more of this change in seasons like this that go awry for teams. You'll see more of these records set 49, 50 different starting lineups. The question is, you have three games left, right? We know who's pretty much Jaren shut down.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do you mix it up one more time in these final three? I mean, I would think the odds are high.
Yeah, I do too.
All these names that we don't know, names we don't even care to learn anymore because they'll be gone in 10 days. Yeah, I mean, you find you a different combination. I'm sure there'll be at least one more starting lineup over these final three games.
Yeah. When people ask me, what are your career goals? Like, what are your ambitions? What are your dreams? It's not to go national, Jason. It's not to get some big platform outside of Memphis. It's really not my dream. My dream is to have my show impacted by a Grizzlies game to where I get off early. It's never happened. And even during MLK games, it seems to happen quite a bit for Gabe or whoever's doing the 4-7 show.
It's a built-in part for that being on that later show.
And I just hope that one day...
3-hour show.
It's never going to happen for you.
I hope
solo 3-hour show.
I hope that the Grizzlies one day will schedule a game or have a game scheduled at noon. I hope for that to happen. Or even 1:00 I would take with pregame. I think one day it can happen.
It's one of the perks of taking the afternoon job.
It is.
Take that job, that you get that perk.
As Jason said, it's an incentive. It was an incentive. There's no question about it. I mean,
if you want that job, you take it.
You
based
just
on
have
that
to
too.
Work less. So again, my ambitions are not what people might think they are.
Right.
It's to not have to work as much here.
Congratulations, John.
No, there's no need for it's congratulations to Gabe. It's not congratulations to me.
He did take it.
But no, I assume they'll go over. I assume, and I Cole, stay away from the bathtub with the toaster brother. It's gonna be over 50.5. But he'll have a breakdown, I'm sure, on his Twitter account of the 15th man that they bring up from the hustle tonight.
Shout out to Jordan Goodwin's rebound and tail.
Yes,
19 is incredible.
It is.
All right, so let's go to margin of victory for the Nuggets game tonight. We're going around the league here because now the Nuggets squarely in that first place slot in the West.
Tied. Both of them.
Are right there. And we've debated the first slot. Do you want it? Where do you want? What's ideal? Margin of victory for tonight's Nuggets game, 5.5.
Over. Under.
Yeah, so I will say Shams did report that Cat could return tonight. He could. It's one of the final three, Denver, Atlanta, or Phoenix. He's expected to return in one of them. That does not mean it's going to be tonight, although tonight would make some sense given the implications of the game. But if you've missed the time, you've missed maybe also not the perfect one to return for. I guess all of these are going to be competitive because Atlanta's fighting for that play-in spot. Phoenix is fighting for seeding. So all of them are going to have different implications.
Mm-hmm.
Both
on the second night of back-to-backs tonight, Timberwolves and Nuggets.
Yeah.
And as we said, tied for first place in the West.
I would say Denver. I would say Denver covers the 5.5 here. Cat, no cat, doesn't really matter to me.
What about Jamal? He played last night, but it's the second night of a back-to-back. Are they being careful? That's one question mark. I haven't seen an injury report. Did see that he was back last night. That'd be a question is whether or not he's playing the second night of a back-to-back. Again,
yes. This
is a 5.5-point line. You know, so the feelings seem pretty good out of Vegas that this is, you know, Nuggets will win here. They're at home where they're 32-8. You know, one of the best teams in the league, obviously. The Jamal Murray thing, I think the Timberwolves are going to be competitive, dude. I don't think they're, you know, Anthony Edwards had 51 last night. Like, mm-hmm. they're trying to get the one seed, it appears. And so give me the Timberwolves to cover here. I'll go under saying that the Timberwolves keep it competitive. Hey, okay. Maybe Jamal Murray misses the game.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Nice.
You know, do I feel like you stabbed me in the back with that pick? I do.
I think they probably care more. Okay. Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Minnesota cares more about getting the one seed than I think probably Denver does.
I think that's probably fair because Denver's like, whatever, we'll go.
That's Jokic's attitude. Basically.
But, I mean, there is something to be said for home court throughout the West. You know,
it is.
Now, you're not going to get it in the finals. We know that. Boston's leaving everybody in the dust. Even though there was a scare last night with Giannis going down. Sounds like he's going to miss at least a couple of weeks. It just depends. It depends on how hard they want to go. I think Mike Malone, I could absolutely see him saying, we're not going to just throw you back in tomorrow. You're going to have the night off. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we know it's bigger than a regular season game.
And then if you were minus Jamal and plus Cat, even with him,
right,
you know, just now coming back after a layoff, but you're still stronger.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, I'm trying to pull you to my side. Go ahead and take Nuggets over on opposite.
No, you know,
it'll be
Jason,
a fun little sweat tonight.
I don't know what I'm going to bet tonight. I'm going to bet something. There's no question about it because it is a day that ends in Y. But I'm thinking maybe more like the Orlando Magic against the Bucks, as the Bucks lose Giannis yesterday. And it's a back-to-back for both teams. But Orlando's coming off an embarrassing loss last night. Who they lose to? Somebody embarrassing. Somebody they had no business losing to.
That's your turn.
But I might go Orlando here in this spot. And, it was the Rockets. The Rockets team had nothing to play for. They're eliminated. They lose by double digits. So I think the spot might be a little better for the Magic, but not quite sure
Y'all
yet.
Just aren't ready yet.
I think that's probably true. I think they're like the East version of the Thunder, right? Like they're coming up. They have young talent.
No, they're not the East version of the Thunder.
Yeah, we got the East.
The Thunder are a little higher in the standings. They're,
well, I mean, again.
No, you're not there. You're not to the
I'm
Thunder's level
things.
Now.
I'm hearing some things. Just sit back and watch. A lot of people think Klay Thompson's coming to Orlando.
More.
That's not probably going to happen.
We don't want him at this stage,
no.
Do we?
We just need
in Orlando?
The Orlando Magic.
I see what you're saying. It's a veteran present.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do better than Klay.
Thank you. Exactly right. We're going to try to get Desmond Bane. We're going to try to get the
No, you're not getting him. It's called locked up.
No, yeah. I'd rather have him over Morant.
We'll give you all the Wagner brothers and Fultz. How about that? Y'all cool with that? That's a good trade. Enjoy. You thinking about it?
Mm. He's thinking.
He's weighing it over.
Yeah.
No,
pondering. No,
you would not.
Okay.
You're not trading Desmond Bane for anybody right now. But it should be a fun one. I'll be locked into that one as well.
Let's go to that play-in area of the West. This is the where the Lakers. You know, you got the Warriors
it's
down
tight
there.
Down,
it is tight. You guys can enlighten me here. Seed for the Lakers. Linesmith have set the number at 9.5.
Over.
Ninth place or 10th place.
It's tightened up big time.
Yeah.
They're only a half game behind the Kings and 8th. They had a chance last night to overtake the Kings and take 8th, but they blew it, obviously, and let the Golden State Warriors go off on them the way they did. And then they're only a half game out of the 10th spot. Golden State's pulled within a half game of them. So what used to be like a two-game cushion on both sides of them has tightened up. We thought at one point, and before they lost these two in a row, that they were headed up, you know, possibly out of the play-in. That looks, at this point now, 2.5 games to get to the 6.
Yep.
Not going to happen. And so what's the number here on where they – which
9.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 9.5 is, do you think they're going to fall back to 10? I don't think that.
Okay.
Golden State, though, does have the tiebreaker now.
Yeah, and the
reason
why I say the Warriors will is because they play the Trailblazers and the Jazz in 2 of their last 3.
Oh.
So they're going to have at least 2 more wins here. Lakers are going to have to basically win out, which they could do. They have the Grizzlies here in Memphis on Friday and the Pelicans in New Orleans on Sunday. Now, will the Pelicans game matter? It will matter. Because they're trying to stay out of the play-in.
Yeah.
So they're going to be trying to win that game.
Okay.
Well, and the Lakers can't finish in a tie with Golden State, from my understanding, after losing last night. Golden State now has the tiebreaker.
That's not a pretty picture for the Lakers.
If the Lakers go 1-1 and the Warriors go 2-1, which is it's Blazers, Pelicans, Jazz, which they should do, that would put the Warriors at the 9 spot at least, depending on what the Kings do, and it would put the Lakers at the 10 spot.
Mm.
Wow.
And I think that's probably the most likely scenario, right? I mean, I guess the Lakers could beat the Pelicans.
Could win out. Yeah, that's why you're going to play AD in both games.
They could. But, yeah, like, man, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot of minutes for LeBron. It's a lot of minutes for
if they have to go to Golden State in a 9-10 matchup,
correct.
It's over for them.
You think so?
Yeah, that's why you have to go all out here to win these finals. To win the final 2.
Yeah.
Well, and stay ahead of them.
I mean, dude, Anthony Davis missed the game last night because he had a headache.
I saw that in the injury report. It was listed as headache. It's exactly right.
He's only missed 6, though.
No, he's done a good job this year.
Yeah,
he's
not going to hold it against him this year. I mean,
bro,
debilitating migraine.
Can he get some BC powder from you, Jason? Can you give him some Advil? You know.
So they only have 2 left, and Golden State's got 3. Is what you're telling me?
Correct.
Yep. But if we win 2,
who's we?
Golden State, the Lakers. Then Golden State's got to win all 3 of its to tie.
Right.
Because it's a half game behind.
And then you're saying they would have the tiebreaker.
Yes. So as long as we win 2, they got
to
win out.
If you win out, if you win out, they have to win out.
Yeah.
If you go.
Like my chances.
If you split, and I don't know when the Lakers became we, okay, I don't know when that change occurred with you, at what point in the calendar. But
I don't want them in the 10 spot. I want Golden State in the 10 spot. I want Golden State having to go to crypto. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Are you the Golden State fan all of a sudden because they won money for you last night?
Yeah. I've been riding them hard.
Loyalties.
I've been riding them hard the last couple of weeks, in fairness. I've been riding them like I was riding Purdue in the tournament. You know what I'm saying?
I don't like Draymond. I don't like Klay Thompson. I don't like the two of them together.
You got to love Steph.
There's literally no reason. I would rather and prefer to root for the Lakers over Golden State any day of the week.
Don't you love Podzimski?
Their fans are ridiculous.
They are. And
Laker fans are no better.
Klay telling us, you know, get back in your place like he's that dude in a year where he's basically taking a demotion.
I love the Golden State Warriors, okay? I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, we're going to win out and we're going to hold y'all off because you're going to go 2-1 over those final 3.
I enjoy watching the Golden State Warriors play basketball pretty much more than any team in the NBA.
You know what sucks is like Podzinski's good.
He's great.
He was dropping threes last night.
They found something.
I saw it.
Bro.
I saw it.
He was disgusting last night. He was absolutely disgusting. I mean, and honestly, like, I'm trying to figure out why Moody.
Bro has learned the Splash Brothers ways.
Yes, he has. I think Moody's a better player than Kuminga. I might be totally wrong on that.
Maybe I'm getting intoxicated by listening to you, John. Is there any way in hell that this team makes a run? And I realize we got Denver and you got
Minnesota. Absolutely.
Is there any way in hell?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, you're talking about the 2 of the greatest shooters of all time. They're playing, if you look at their record since January.
Yes, that's right.
I think they're one of the best teams in the league in terms of win-loss record since January. They have a winning road record, so this is not a situation where last year they couldn't win away from Oracle or whatever, Chase Center it is now, sorry. This is different. I mean, this is a team that is different. I mean, the question, obviously, as it always is their interior. If Anthony Davis is playing, I don't like the Warriors in that matchup because I saw it in a 7-game series last year.
Yep. Yes.
Golden State has no counter to him. They just don't. They're going to have to shoot 60% from three. They can do it. But last night, they got a lot of stuff at the rim that would not have been there if Anthony Davis
We're not losing that game if we got AD.
So that's the great equalizer. I mean, what's standing in the Warriors' way, if they could get out of that play-in game against the Lakers, right?
Yep, that's where we're going.
I think they could absolutely make a run.
Okay.
No question about it. Because, I'll take my chances, Draymond, on Jokic. That could be a bulldog situation like P.J. Tucker had him in the other night.
So I need the Pelicans to step up because the Jazz and Trailblazers ain't beating Golden State.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, the Pelicans could, though. Pelicans have played well.
They're my only hope.
Yeah, they beat the Suns. Now, I mean, did you see the Suns score yesterday to start?
Mm-mm.
Dude, the Clippers were up on them folks 35-4 in Phoenix.
Ridiculous.
Without Harden and without Kawhi.
Wow.
What? What?
35-4, bro. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Even the two-way Grizzlies compete a little more than that. This is no question about it, a boost to the NBA.
Right.
Because we are now talking about the last week of the season mattering to four different teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to five different teams.
Yep.
That just felt like it wasn't the case typically in the past before the play-in existed. And then those games will be great. You know, if we get Warriors-Lakers in a playoff in a one-game elimination, holy hell.
Well, and because of who's down there, particularly in the West in the play-in, it matters to the top teams too. Because you're going to be facing some veteran units, a Golden State or a Lakers coming out of there if you're one of the top seeds in the West. So it should matter to you as well, to the entire conference. It's been a fun – everybody's in the race, it feels like, you know, save outside of us and those few teams at the bottom. It's fun to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so it is that week. It's the Masters week. We just saw the beginning press conference, and, of course – live action. They got the practice rounds going on tomorrow. And we have minutes. This is the over-under question. Minutes you will spend watching the Masters this week. 20 minutes and a half. 20.5 over-under.
It's going to be way under for me, actually. Liv and the Saudis have killed PGA Tour.
We're going to find out this weekend.
None of the stars are...
with the ratings.
I know we have some exemptions or whatever, but... yeah, I just don't – like. Much like I don't think Cody Rhodes is going to be able to carry the WWE as the champion long term, I certainly don't think there's a world where Scottie Scheffler as the face of PGA Tour is going to equate to ratings gold.
13-4 favorite, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the masses are going to be rushing to watch Scottie Scheffler, with his whatever, do his whatever he does. Now, I don't even know what he does. I don't even know what he looks like. So
when are you going to add it to your white man bucket list to get down there,
bro? It's
when
not.
Do you grow? When do you mature to that phase?
It's not going to happen.
And
for
go
me.
Get you a pimento cheese sandwich,
man. That sounds like
that
the
feels
lamest.
Like it's part of
no.
your culture.
It's not. It's
I see
skipped,
the
it
I see white men
me.
Get down to Augusta and they take pictures and
right.
they're so excited of the concession stand. They are so excited. It's like reaching the Mecca.
It's not like that
it's
for
like
me.
It's like reaching Mecca.
Like, I would rather go to anywhere.
And you
I
haven't
actually,
grown into that yet.
Juarez. I would rather go to Juarez than the Masters course. You know, it's just not a destination for me.
Cool.
If somebody called me, I'm dead serious. If somebody said, I know this is something, people have to enter a lottery, I think, to get here. If the PGA Tour commissioner called me and he said, hey, I want to bring you and a friend to Augusta National. I want you to tour the course, and I want you to be here for the match. I say, pass to the next person.
Stop.
Double it and pass
stop
to the next
it,
person.
Stop it. Stop
I'm dead
it.
Ass serious.
And your son may want to play.
Bro, no. I'm sorry. He's not going to have any ability with the golf club. It's just not a thing. Like, my buddy sent me, like, a betting thing, picked five golfers. I'm like, bro, I don't even know Tiger. Tiger and Vijay Singh is who I've got winning this week. That's who I've got. So
I'm going to rebuke this and say that one day you'll grow into that stage of white manness. You will.
I just don't understand
like,
the...
You know, Germantown and all that? Like, you grew into that. You know what I'm saying? Into that stage of white manness. You grew into that. You didn't come from there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then at some point, maybe it'll be your 50s or something, You'll say, you know what I haven't done? I haven't gotten down to Augusta.
I'll go to
I've
the,
been around
I'll go to
it
the St. Jude.
To go to the damn
I'll
Peach
go,
Jam.
I'll go to the St. Jude. I won't go to the Masters, though.
You've been to the St. Jude. It's not the same.
I liked it. I enjoyed it, man. Yeah,
exactly.
That's like
and
a Memphis
would have a,
thing,
you,
though. That's like a, this is just, this is hoity-toity.
Brad, you've been, right? You've knocked off
went
your.
Went to the practice round,
of
yes.
Of course you
I've toured
did,
the
because
course.
Why?
Yeah, see, that's, it's I'm not, it's not for
part
me.
Of the culture.
It's not made for me. Like, you know, the Barbie song, you know, it's not.
But it actually is. You just don't know it.
Well, I.
You haven't tapped in, as they would say.
Well, I think, listen, people who like golf want to be good at golf, right? They play it. They want to get out there on a Saturday morning. Yeah. They want to spend 6 hours on the. That's not. I don't do that.
When Jake graduates from high school, it's all
See?
I'll do.
See? Like, Brad likes
part
to play.
All I do now is
tradition.
Baseball. In 2 years, I'm giving up a baseball bat, and
there
I'm
you go.
Picking up that bag.
If you don't play. The odds are very good. You're not going to care about the actual, you know, the television product. If you play, you'll be like, oh, I, you know, I've kind of done that before. You're like,
I haven't done what they do, though.
Well,
I'm
they're a different level. But, like, oof. Yeah, it's just not we did the Riverbend Lynx thing. Shots Riverbend Lynx.
Yeah, that was
our
back
man, Clay.
In the infancy of this show. Y'all were out there.
Me and my friend David Kapp, my brother-in-law David Kapp.
That was an embarrassment.
We really gave it, right. We gave it one shot. We took a tee time. We went down there. It was absolutely blistering hot on an August Saturday, all right? And we played 9 holes, and it took us 3.5 hours.
That was dumb to do it on an August.
It was.
Hot Saturday.
It was.
Saturday.
It was. Yeah. But otherwise, we would have been holding everybody up, right? So it kind of worked out perfectly in that sense.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, you're welcome. But it was just not an enjoyable experience. I couldn't locate the ball. Nobody knew how to keep score. You know, it was just that bad. It was not a fun deal.
You guys haven't tapped in yet.
So, and it's not, no, it'll be under 20 and a half for me, of course, unless Tiger Woods has a 1998 type of run.
Jason, are you a golfer? Do you play?
No.
No.
You probably could have guessed. I'm going to go under here because Tiger's not going to make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
Harder to do. I've read now at the Masters to make the cut.
Yeah.
So I'll make it. That means it doesn't take me second weekend. Mm. There's no reason to tune in while I'm taking a nap on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because he won't be there.
Yeah, absolutely devastating. Just a devastating.
Okay, what if he is, though? What if somehow, miraculously, he is?
Possibly if he was, then that's how you get to the over 20 and a half.
Okay.
That's how you get
okay.
there.
Oh,
that's
if
what
Tiger,
we need
Tiger makes a run, then
we need Tiger.
Everybody. But it's just like anything
so
else.
You both will.
How sad is it that golf still needs Tiger in that way? That's
I think
the
that
point
you
here,
guys are
because John
it.
Said the key, Scheffler can't carry golf.
Yeah, and I think you said Vijay Singh. I don't think Vijay is any. I think he's on the senior tour. And
well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's had, well, and he might be playing as a former champion.
Bring him
but
back.
I don't know. He's out there. He's out
bring
there.
Bring him back.
He's kind of like
bring
Tiger.
Bring him back.
In fact, Vijay might have a better chance than Tiger. I don't know, but
yeah,
I'm excited to hear Jim Nance. We've missed him on college basketball, so I'm excited to hear him.
Vijay Singh, one of the best.
Who do you think will win this weekend, gentlemen? We're guessing.
Don't take the favorite because he's not going to win.
Yeah. Scheffler, you don't think it's going to win?
Who's Russell Henley?
Henley.
I'm going Russell Henley. I think Russell Henley's been in good form.
I'm going with Bruce Koepka.
Brooks?
Brooksy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So Brooks Koepka we've got over here. I've got Russell Henley. Just the way that he's sort of been playing, obviously his performance in the Sony Open, you know, I don't know if he did anything in the Sony Open, but that seems like something a golf fan would say. So just his form, you know, the way he's really pulled out the old 8-iron, you know. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. When does it start? Tomorrow?
Yeah, man.
Tomorrow is the first round.
Anticipation palpable. No question about it. We'll have full coverage. Gabe will have full coverage starting at 5:30 today on his show.
That's the Grizzlies pregame.
Oh, sorry. He would have had full coverage had he been on at that time. But because he's not, he will not.
You should listen to Gabe's show. What time is he on?
He's from 4 to 5:30.
Today.
4 to 5:30 today.
Tomorrow? What time is he on tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'm assuming he's on from 4 to 7, but it's going to depend on if he's preempted.
Yes. There's no Grizzlies game tomorrow.
Anyway, there you have it. Masters starts tomorrow. We'll come back. We're going to be joined by Nick Friedell at 12:25. We'll talk to him about the play-in scenario, the Lakers, Warriors, lots to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
This music does calm me.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
As we speak, sounds like Scott Drew is going to be meeting with Kentucky very soon, very, very quickly, in short order. According to John Rothstein, Kentucky plans to officially meet with Baylor Scott Drew regarding its head coaching vacancy in the near future. This was an hour ago, and now they're like they're tracking like the flight, Jason. We're in flight tracking season. So
they're not going to miss.
I don't think so. I feel like if it's gonna, if Scott Drew's meeting with Kentucky, I think his intention is to take the job.
Yep.
Jason, you spoken in black and miles this morning.
That's the Kentucky coach asking you that.
How about that? We had Cal on too.
Yeah. So,
2 seconds.
Listen, just to sort of round up what Scott Drew has done at Baylor, he has not been to a Sweet 16 since he won the title in 21. Now he won a title at Baylor. All right. So like. There you go. Like, at some point, the rest of it really doesn't matter. But these are not outside of the championship, which, again, anybody in Memphis would take, anybody at 99% of programs would take. There has not been much. An Elite Eight in 2009, 2010, an Elite Eight in 11, 12, a Sweet 16 in 13, 14, a Sweet 16 in 16, 17, the championship in 2021. That's the highlight of Baylor. Now, again, good, because he literally took over a program where a player was murdered, and they tried to cover it up. So, I mean, that's what we're dealing with here, and that should be said. The idea that he turned that program into a place where you could win a championship, however long it took, is almost insane to think about. I also think there's a chance that Scott Drew might not be the right fit for Kentucky, just in terms of what he wants to do. How he builds it, because it feels like to me Baylor wins because they get the guys that maybe aren't, you know, the blue chippers, and they're tougher, and they kind of have that edge to them.
Yeah.
You know, like the Davion Mitchells. He ended up being an NBA player, but you know what I'm saying, like those type of dudes. And he has had NBA players in his time there, but it just feels like Baylor's more of a program about toughness and playing harder than your opponent as opposed to overwhelming with talent. And I don't think that's a style that Kentucky, you know, is going to gravitate to. They want the best players, and they want to win at a high level. So I just don't know if that's exactly the right fit for them. But we shall see. It feels like it is definitely Scott Drew's to turn down at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you count up the years. That's the thing about it, is you've been at this place for 21 years, and so you probably and I'm sure you've had opportunities to leave before that you've considered seriously. But Scott Drew may be at a point where he's ready for the new challenge after 21 years. And again, most of these coaches that have been in the game as long as Scott Drew has, they still look at that Kentucky job as different, right? Sort of like, as we were talking about Cal calling it his dream job coming out of Memphis, you know, for Scott Drew and for so many other, you know, of those old school coaches, and he's that as long as he's been in the business now, they still look at Kentucky as that. So, again, after spending 21 years at a place and you feel like you've certainly made it better, as you said, than where it was when you got it, that thing was bad in terms of where it was at. Yeah, I mean, I can understand from his standpoint why it's attractive. They're going to, you know, you feel like they're going to give you everything you need. And to your point, I think Scott Drew, while he does go out and find some diamonds in the rough that he develops, he also, you know, he's got Jacoby up there this year. He's a one and done, isn't he?
Yep.
I mean, he can recruit at a high enough level.
He can.
Kentucky, it right now needs to be more about substance and winning at this point. If their fans just want, you know, highly rated recruiting classes, well, look where that's gotten you the last few years. They need to be about something different and more substance, and Scott Drew will bring that. I'm with you, though, that it just, from a fit standpoint, from the expectation standpoint, I understand it's a challenge for him, it's attractive to you, but whether you're going to be a good fit in that is another question.
Yep.
Because they love being sold. And Scott Drew will go out and sell you.
Yep.
I mean, he will do that, and he'll get out there and sort of in his cornball Christian way, you know, go out and sell your program. if you're not winning and you're doing that, they'll get tired of you fast.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, again, that's why that's where I think Bruce is better in terms of sales pitch.
I completely agree.
Keeping you among the big storylines in college basketball. You know, Scott Drew will care about that, you know, when he has to.
Yep.
But he's not looking to go on ESPN every day like Bruce Pearl would be. And I think those Kentucky fans have gotten used to that with Cal. So, I question fit.
Right.
I understand it, though, when, again, you look at – he's been at Baylor for 21 seasons.
Yeah.
So, he's probably ready for something else, too.
Like, no doubt.
He like you said, you can tell yourself in your heart, I mean, this look how much better this program is. I put some pride in this thing from where it was when I got it back in 2004. No, I understand from the standpoint. Just better be careful, man. Just better get to your point about happiness and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's like what you got away with at Baylor the last three years would get you run out of Kentucky. What people were like cool with at that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People are not calling the Waco radio stations saying we have to get rid of Scott Drew. They're not saying that. They're happy with Scott Drew because they know they probably can't get a coach of his caliber, you know, if he ever were to leave. And so I think that's something that you have to think about just in terms of your, you know, I don't know what Scott Drew makes there. I mean, that could be a consideration as well. Scott Drew's annual salary is, according to, is it really this? Okay. I gotta make sure I get the numbers right. It looks like $5 million.
It's got to be five. He's won a championship.
Five-ish. So Kentucky gets you to 7, gets you to 8, I mean, maybe, 5.1. So they could probably get you to 7. So is $2 million a year worth maybe, like, being on the street again in 3 years because you didn't, you know, make a Final Four? I mean, that's a high bar. That's a high-ass bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you have everything you need to do it, but, man, I mean – you're just talking about you could get slapped in the face with bad shooting. You could have a bad shooting night in the second round and you're gone. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. Good teams lose early. You know, I mean, Purdue lost in the first round to a 16 seed last year. They got to the championship game this year with basically the same team. You know, I mean, variance is variance. And sometimes you get good variance. Like the Warriors got last night against the Lakers shooting 60-whatever-the-hell% from three, and Draymond was 5 of 5. That's variance. That's good variance. And we've also seen, you know, nights where a college team will go 1 of 12, 1 of 15, 2 of 16 from three, and that's it. And that's it. And they're good looks and all of that. So I just, when your job comes down to whether or not I get lucky from a certain standpoint in the tournament, because I do think tournaments are about luck. A lot of the time, I would really think long and hard, you know? Like, I would like to say, I could stay at Baylor. I could be a top five pay coach already. I could stay at Baylor, get a little bit more money from Baylor out of this, and I could just do what I'm doing here. And I'm comfortable, and I'm a legend in this town, and I'm a legend at this university, and I'll retire here. And I can win a championship here.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that again. Like, again, it's like uprooting your family, you know, uprooting everything you have.
But again, you've been in there 21 years.
That's true. I mean,
you're
I get
not some
it.
Nomad in the game, and you know, it's been hard on your family moving
that's true.
Around.
No, you're right. And I think there's probably a part of him that's like, I need a challenge.
That's it has to be.
Like, I need to do something
else. And
again,
he's been in the game long enough that he is one of those coaches that would look at a Kentucky and still say, okay, that's the peak. That's the ultimate.
It's like when you were at the CA, you know, you got approached by radio, you were like, I want to do something else. I've been here you were at the CA for 16 years.
13.
You know, 13 years. 13, yeah. My apologies. I'm adding years to your tenure that you did not earn. But it felt like 16.
It's weird when y'all compare yourselves to these coaches. Like Jeff was doing it to, you know, him and Cal yesterday.
Well, we just relate, bro.
No, it's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
What they're
doing
is different.
It is different, but it's not really that different. It's like they're working in a job the same way we are, you know. And if you're at a certain spot and you have other opportunities and chances.
I mean, what are you talking about? For me, $5 can make a difference. For them, we're talking about, you know, $2-4 million. What are you talking about?
It's the same. Relatively, it's the same thing in terms of GDP. So, you know, you could get one more double stack at Wendy's or whatever it was back then. And they can buy another, you know, boat.
I wish Scott Drew well in it. I don't think it's going to end well. I really don't. But the thing about it is you can leave Kentucky before it happens to you go get another job. Tubby did it. John's doing it.
Yes.
You know, you get out of there before they fire you. You're still attractive enough to get another job, and maybe that's what he's banking on. Because he's only in his 50s, right?
He's a younger guy, yeah. But isn't that why you left the CA, bro? I mean, you left the CA. It was not ultimately financial. It didn't have to be. Ultimately, you left the CA because you wanted to try something different.
No, that's you just making up a narrative.
No, you said
financial, and yes, a new challenge came, but it was not me saying, challenge or, you know.
You said you wanted to be a voice in a different way. You wanted to be a voice in a different way.
That was part of it as well.
And so that's what Scott Drew is going to have to decide. Does he want to be, Cal said this program needs a different voice. Does he want to be that voice of a.
That his voice can work well if he's winning.
Oh, anybody.
In Lexington with what he says.
Donald Duck's voice can work well in Lexington if he's winning.
Tubby was winning.
Well, yeah, not really at the end.
I guess that wasn't his group that he won with, right?
Yeah, okay. And once it kind of settled in, it wasn't as good.
Tough got on down.
That's two coaches in a 25-year span. They've done that too, who have won titles, not enough for them, but have won titles, and they ultimately run off because it just wasn't to their liking, And I would think about that. Now, again, you're a great coach. So if you flame out at Kentucky, you will have a landing spot.
Yeah.
That's like Cal showed that.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
But it's just like, damn, if you have a good thing, brother.
I think it's probably just it's as much about the end of the road at Baylor after 21 seasons.
Right. I've done what I'm going to do here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's, it
took it from ish to shine.
Also, literally. A lot of new teams are coming in. Colorado's coming in. Arizona's coming in. I don't know if you're – I'm not saying you're worried about them because but it does change, right? It does change. The Big 12 changes. College sports changes.
Losing Texas, but Houston looking real good.
Oh, yeah. Houston's in there.
In terms of their addition.
Arizona's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, they will be.
I don't know if anybody else is coming in that
– Yeah,
that,
you're leaving the best conference as far as I'm concerned in college basketball.
And you're going to a little bit of an easier one.
Well, where are somebody's going to be shooting at you pretty good from over in Fayetteville, too?
That's true.
He's going to want to see you fall. Hell, he might go after every kid you're after just to do it.
Yeah.
Try to make it as tough on you as possible.
Correct.
You're going to have him shooting at you in your own conference. But, again, that's – with the conference that Scott Drew's been in, I'm sure that's not anything that scares him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be – it's all going to be considered. We'll also, see
– But Cal's going to be trying to take you down.
What kind of money he's offered. That will
– Yeah, they'll put him between 7 and 8. Yeah. Makes sense.
It'll be lower than 8 because they're not going to pay him the same they were paying Cal. I wouldn't be shocked if they came in at 6.5.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.